Thank you for joining the Bevel Talk, Season 2, Episode 2. Life as a pipe welder brings a unique language, a wide range of job requirements, and high degree of skills. Today we're talking about a typical day of welding pipe and vessel. Let's get right into it.
Welcome back to Bevel Talk. We're here again with Jeff Robidoux, Craig Spindler, and Andre Stewart. Now we want to talk about different challenges in pipe welding specifically, or pipe and vessel welding. So now that we've learned a little bit more about you guys, let's talk about what you've done. You know, what types of jobs have you been working on, whether it's in the field, in the shop? What were some of these projects? And with that, what was a typical day in your life like?
For myself, you know, typical day, you know, no day is typical in the welding industry. I mean, everything is always different. So that's part of the fun portion of it. Like Jeff said earlier, I mean, nothing's the same. Everything's different. So it's hard to describe a typical day other than some days are hot. You know, some days it's not.
Jeff, you spent probably the most time in shop, right? So, you know, what is that like? Are you welding all day long, or what else do you have going on in your day?
Yes, pretty much. The shop I came from, they had guys designated fitting pipe and guys welding. I was on the welding end, so from the start of the shift to the end of the shift, it was welding.
Right, and there's other shops that are set up different ways, right?
Yes.
Somewhere you start to finish, you're the fit up, you're the tack, you're the grind, you're the weld, you're everything.
Correct. All the shops run differently. Some you do it all, and some you have fitters and welders.
I think that might pose a challenge, right? Going from one shop to another shop. Has that ever posed a challenge to any of you guys, or has it all been pretty smooth?
Pretty smooth. I mean, they all do the same thing at the end of the day. You know, you're fitting and welding pipe or vessels.
Talk to me a little bit what a typical shop kind of looks like. How do you know what you're doing? How do you know what you've got going on in a day, in a week, in a job?
Well, the shop I worked at, like I said, I did mostly vessels. So when we were done with a particular vessel, we'd go to see the shop foreman, and he had a schedule he had to follow. And he knew what his guys wanted to work on, so he'd hand me a job packet that had the drawings, the traveler in it, and all the material requirements. And then where all the material was staged. So then in my case, I would grab it from the start to the end, all the way to the end. So I grabbed all the material. I had to document all that on the traveler for heat codes, because that's all has to be tracked and traced. And then after all that was done, then it was up to you and how you wanted to build it, pretty much, but as long as it was built right.
For those that don't know what a traveler is, or that don't understand, tell them a little bit more. What is a traveler?
It's a document that follows the vessel from start to finish, and inside of that you have to write down your welder ID number for each particular joint. And it could have anywhere from 10 joints up to 100 joints, depending on the size of the tank. So all that had to be documented. So when the AI would come in, the authorized inspector, he was a third-party inspector that came in and examined the vessel and then witnessed the hydro test on it. So all that documentation had to be there. So if there was ever an issue with the tank, then they could go back and look at the traveler and find out who welded it.
Craig and Jeff, anything to add? And, you know, you guys worked in different shops, but what was it kind of like getting set up for the day?
Some of the other shops are just, there's pipe out in front of you and you're welding as a welder. They maybe have a job number, a job name on, and that we'd have to go to basically a board or something like that to tell us maybe what the weld specification was for that particular joint or for that particular customer, right? And each customer, even though it's similar material, may have different requirements. Maybe we have to do a TIG root on one. Maybe it's a wire root on another. Maybe it's flux core fill. Maybe it's stick fill. You just never know what it's going to be. So that's where we would always have to go to get those requirements and know that we're doing it correctly.
With that, you know, looking at whether you're recording on a traveler, you're talking to a supervisor, you're looking at plans or a WPS, how much of that was taught up front, whether it be in school like Jeff did, or how much of was it taught on the job? How did you learn to do your job?
With the apprenticeship program, which is a little different than Andre, I mean, we had schooling, but then we also had a lot of time on the job. And majority of that learning is on the job, but there's also science classes, different things like that that we would have to take, right? Metallurgy classes, things like that, so we understand that. But a lot of learning is on the job. And even quite frankly, coming to Miller, there's more that they should teach as far as the welding aspect, troubleshooting, that type of thing on the job that we may not have gotten sometimes from the trade, right? So that's some of the things that I would learned, you know, that I see.
So what are some of the things that you just mentioned that you wish were trained and taught earlier? Can we go a little bit more into that? What needs to be taught in school, or what needs to be taught on the job faster to help you become more proficient?
Maybe more in-depth on welding processes, right? Specifics on that type of thing. For me, that would be big. I mean, we learn how to weld. We are very good welders, or they train very good welders, but welding as in-depth, you know, something is key and very helpful in the long run, for me anyways.
They should emphasize more on what gases do for wires and stuff like that. Like Craig said, we're trained good welders, but understanding what gases and wire combinations do, we lack that.
Go into that a little bit deeper. You know, what can a gas affect in a weld?
Oh, it can affect, you know, metallurgically properties of the pipe. You know, wrong gas on stainless can cause corrosion, rusting in that.
It can help propagate cracks. It can cause porosity, lots and lots of different things that it can do, right? And that's more you learn by making a mistake, grabbing the wrong bottle, than anything else, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I won't ask for a raise of hands or anything, but we all know that happens on jobs, right? So, okay. So here's some other questions. What are some of the most common applications you did? Were you mostly stick welding, TIG welding? What process do you wish you mastered sooner?
I would say TIG welding. That wire and stick was no problem. Mainly, you know, we did more wire than anything. Then when it came to TIG, it, you know, took me a little bit to get the hang of it.
Andre?
Well, I started out in process piping, and that's 100% TIG welding. So I kind of had an early jump on that for that process. And I think once you get the Once you get good at TIG, I think wire comes pretty easy.
Yeah, I would agree with Andre, but I also with Jeff that TIG is probably the biggest art form, right? Wire is much easier. TIG is definitely a hand eye coordination, more of an art form, very specialized process, and it's clean, it's enjoyable, you know, it's not a lot of grinding, anything like that. So it's a lot more fun to do.
All right, so here's the infamous question. What's the best process?
Depends on your application. Quite honestly, I mean, it depends on what you're building, what you're doing. There's each process is different. Are you in the field? Are you in the shop? Where are you? I mean, each process has its specialty and its location where it needs to go. That's my opinion anyways.
I think that's something that we don't talk enough about is welding. We kind of, you know, forget about it other than that it's in the corner and it's just there, right?
Is your pipe welding equipment costing you time and money? It's time to reinvent your workday. Make the move to Arc Reach technology from Miller. And don't walk, weld. Get more information at millerwelds.com/arcreach.
All right, let's talk about some pet peeves and let's talk about joint preparation. We all know it's important. But for a welder that's just starting out or a fitter that's just starting out, why?
Well, if the joint preparation is not set up for the process you're doing, you're going to struggle. You know, if you're going to TIG weld and they fit it up for, let's say, a wire and they gap it too big, you're going to struggle trying to put the TIG root in. Or vice versa, if they fit up too tight and you're going to try to wire it, you're not going to have a big enough gap for the wire to go in there to get good penetration. So fit up is critical. And a bevel. You want a good bevel on it too.
I'd say cleanliness. You don't want to weld on a dirty joint that's got oil or rust or anything on there. Also cleaning back mill scale off the side of the pipe there. And code requires you to clean that, and a lot of guys don't do that. And then they wonder why they get worm tracks or even some undercutting. If it's not clean, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. A lot of that, too. Like with the oil in it, you get a lot of porosity.
Right. So one of my biggest pet peeves, if there was any grinding that needed to happen on a route, they would take it down to just almost nothing. So you had even more work to do to fill it back up when you're coming around. So being able to prepare for the next pass is always my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, and as a welder, I don't like to grind, right? That's dirty, it's dusty, it's not fun, right? So doing a quality route pass and doing that, not having to grind too much, that's one of the things, right? Sometimes people just overgrind and cause themselves more issues, for sure.
All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about preheating. We all know preheating is important. It helps with weld quality and helps reduce defects, but talk to me a little bit more about what that looks like, whether it be in the shop or in the field.
Well, it looked like it. There's some different types of preheating. There's some people are heating with torches. Some people are heating with the what we used to call chiclets, right, or resistance. There's some newer stuff now that is not even new. It's induction heating, which for a welder is kind of nice. It doesn't have a lot of heat coming back at you. It allows you to lean on that pipe. So there's some different designs and different things out there, different options now. So as far as depending on the joint design will depend on, you know, maybe on the wrap or the design of that, right? But each one, it seems like induction and different things, they have different applications for each one, right? So.
Okay, here's another question. Everybody always says, you know, code tells us to do it this way or code tells us to do it that way. Preheating, post-weld heat treatment, amperages, voltage ranges. Where did you guys go before you became CWIs to get that information so you made sure you were getting accurate information?
Our welding spec in the shop.
Yeah, we had weld procedures up there. We had to go look at them for each job. Had one hanging on the wall, and it'll tell you if it needs preheat, all that stuff.
With preheat, let's talk through it. Some welders probably haven't ever actually done a preheat or post-weld heat treatment. What does that look like? Why do we do it? What's it for?
Drive moisture. Some of it's driving moisture. Some of it is just the material is so thick that, you know, if you weld it, it just draws that heat out so fast that it can cause cracking of the welds, things like that, weld defects. So that's one of the reasons that we do the preheat. When we're in the field, it may be different than when we're in the shop. In the field, the preheat is done maybe by a third-party contractor because of liability with the contractor that you're doing the welding for. In the shop, sometimes that is self-performed. You know, it's preheat is self-performed, and the post-weld heat treat, that's something as a welder that we really don't get into very much. You know, that's always done by, again, by either a third party or by somebody that's trained specifically on that post-weld heat treating, things like that.
How important is preheating as a welder? How much variance or how much does that change your job?
Well, the preheating always came in the summer when it was 100 degrees outside. We'd be doing chrome where we had to be preheating to 400 degrees. I think it's important. During the winter, sometimes people don't realize if a lot of weld specs, if you're under 50 degrees Fahrenheit, you need to preheat. So we're in the field and it's minus 20. Technically, we should be preheating that pipe to 50 degrees Fahrenheit or better, right? You know, so some of those can be very critical. Some of them maybe aren't so critical. Depends on the application.
Okay, last question. How much do you love inspectors?
I have no problems with them. You know, they check my welds. If it doesn't meet, you know, go back there and fix it. So, I mean, I've had a good relationship with inspectors.
How do you gain that relationship that's a good relationship with inspectors? Because every welder's got a nightmare story about an inspector that did this or did that. So how do you have that good relationship?
Well, I think you got to respect him for one. Because it's his name that's going on that document when he signs it, that it falls under all the code requirements. So if there's something he doesn't like and you get in his face and bitch at him, he's not going to like you. And he can make your life very, very difficult.
Absolutely. The inspectors are there for a reason. That's to keep everybody safe, right? Make sure we're doing our job right. There are days, like Andre said, you want to get in their face. It doesn't pay. It's just not the right thing to do. And they're there for everybody's safety, for sure.
I agree. All right. Thanks, guys. Join us next time as we talk about fundamentals of MIG welding.